I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV's talk show. My co-host is Michael C. Moynihan of Reason Magazine, Reason Online, and Reason TV. We've got Kelly Jane Torrance of The Washington Times. We'll talk to her about being from Canada and working for a unification church publication. And living legend, barely living legend of journalism, of alternative journalism, Russ Smith, who, among other things, started the Baltimore City Paper and the Washington City Paper and wrote the long-running and great column, God, that was back in the 80s, wasn't it? The Mugger column?
80s,
for the New York
90s.
Press. Yeah, no, but a person who helped drive the Village Voice into insolvency.
That's
right?
Awesome.
Which is pretty good. Did you ever have a fist fight with Norman Mailer? You know, I stabbed one of his bosses.
His whole role in The Voice is so fucking exaggerated.
Why? He's always him and who were the other founders?
It was Dan Wolf and Ed Fancher. They you know, Mailer invested some money and wrote a column, you know, occasionally. And he gets, you know.
He gets chops for that. That's like his ultimate contribution to American letters. Did you read The Village Voice growing up, Kelly Jane Torrance in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, it was famous even in Canada.
Would you
it was one
call
of those legendary
Michael a hoser?
Publications.
Yeah. Yeah. People don't, that's not a real Canadian term, by the way. That was
hoser?
Bob and Doug only. I've never heard anyone in Canada actually say that.
But, you know, this is an episode we are going to be asking these people if they're too big to fail.
Yes, that's
are you? Is Russ Smith too big to fail? So, come on.
It's a real question. We're rolling. There's
bad.
Film in the camera.
Yeah. No. So, did you explain what you do for the Times?
Well, I'm an arts and entertainment writer. I mostly review movies, interview people involved in the movies, as well as writing, you know, general pieces on arts and entertainment, publishing, music, TV, pretty much anything.
Yeah.
So you're doing your interviewing directors, actors, these types of people too.
Members
of the
church.
Of, yeah. Who's the biggest asshole you've interviewed?
Well, I wouldn't say that on camera.
Sure you would. Please.
Yeah, actually, I mean, most people are very
Who the
nice.
Fuck do you think is watching this?
I was actually meant to ask that before I go.
Yeah. No. Nobody's watching this. You can say whatever you want.
No, I mean, most
it's like the Connie Chung moment. Just whisper it in my ear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, I mean, most people try to be friendly because they want good press. For their films.
Sure.
You know, I mean, basically the worst thing that's happened is, you know, people yawning because they've had a long day and, you know, a little snippy.
But no sort of disastrous.
Do you come into the interview and you're like, I don't even know what town I'm in? Or who are you? I've interviewed like 10 directors today and you're all the same.
No. I mean, it's an interesting job, but it's, you know, the thing I hate about it is you're getting someone, sometimes you're the last interview of the day and you wonder, has everybody else asked them the same questions?
Sure.
So,
yeah.
I mean, you guys know that. You try to come up with something.
As is very clear to our viewers, we don't write any of this beforehand.
Lip-syncing this after.
Yeah.
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 No, I started in the tough world of teen magazine, so like I know.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Really?
I'm making that up.
Wow.
No way. Yeah, no, I actually wrote an advice column as Alyssa Milano for several years, which explains all of those unwanted pregnancies.
Well, that's actually funny because one of my jobs is I write an advice column, but I do both for
Sun Young Moon.
I compose the celebrity questions.
Here, let's get this out on the table. The Washington Times is owned by the Sun Young Moon and the Unification Church. Does that do you get directives from him?
No, I mean I've been there I think 2.5 years now, and there's never been any directives or interference, you know, from that.
What about the end? Do you have your copy changed so that like when you see a movie about a gay marriage? Do they put that in scare quotes?
You know, that used to be the case, actually. First of all, you couldn't use the word gay. You had to use the word homosexual.
Yeah,
yeah. And marriage
homosexualist?
Wasn't in the scare quotes.
Yeah, yeah. Now it's hot dudes for some reason.
Exactly.
Very odd.
No, I mean, when I
the style guide is a... Yeah.
When I started, it was like that, but we have a new editor who came from the
Washington
Post.
Was that John Solomon,
though? John Solomon, from the Washington Post. And literally within a few weeks of him starting there, we got a memo, you know, you can now use the word gay, which...
Right.
There were a few other things that you couldn't. What were the other ones?
I know. Contras. They're still talking about the Contras.
illegal immigrants.
Oh, illegal immigrants. Were filthy Mexicans before, right? Yeah.
Well, it's funny because you know, being someone who writes in the arts, that actually affected me a fair amount.
Sure,
you know, there's a lot of movies about, you know, gay characters, movies about illegal immigrants.
Right.
So this is something that's actually, you know, helped me a lot.
It's,
you know, because, and also just nice to have more than one word to use. You know, when you're a writer, you don't want to keep saying homosexual over and over again.
Right, yeah.
You know, so it's nice just to actually have another.
Well, not this early in the morning anyway.
No.
Well, that's great. I have always loved the Washington Times arts and entertainment section. I always thought it was really good. And they had like a more interesting range than places like the Washington Post and the New York Times, where you always got a sense that they were really trying to affect a particular image as opposed to just kind of liking the stuff.
As well as a political agenda.
Yeah.
Well, I think it helps that, you know, most of the, first of all, we have a small staff, which means that the people who, look, we only have two full-time staff writers, and then we've got a couple freelancers.
So what's the last really good movie you saw?
The last really good movie I saw, I would have to say, was Frost Nixon, which is coming out, I think, December 12th.
Yeah.
Probably will be on my top 10 list of really good films.
We're doing a treatment of Sarah Jane Moore and Ford.
Yes.
Yeah, Moore Ford.
Yeah, well, I suggested last night that we do Squeaky Fromm one-man show.
Yeah.
Or one-woman show. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's interested, I think it'd be a dynamite movie.
Yeah.
Is Squeaky still among us?
She is. She's still in prison. Yeah.
By the way,
and she refuses.
We call her Lynette. Here.
Yeah, we call her Lynette here.
Okay, yeah.
And she's refused even a parole hearing for the past, 20 years. Trust me, I follow this very closely.
Squeaky, a little too closely.
Yeah, a little too closely.
Do you know who Squeaky Fromm is?
I'll be honest, I do not.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, has anybody ever tried to assassinate a Canadian leader? Squeaky Fromm was a member of the Manson family who then tried to shoot Gerald Ford.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, who was wearing like a beautiful cape when she tried to do it.
Yeah.
But no one has ever. There hasn't been any. Brian Mulroney was never.
Probably the most unpopular politician in Canadian history. No one has tried
to. Really? I mean, like, don't hockey fans try and set him on fire or something? I don't know.
I like Brian Mulroney.
Wasn't too popular at times.
Yeah.
Well, there was the whole Trudeau mania, so it was, you know, he was wildly popular, but then at times unpopular. But I think the wildly popular.
He's dead now, right?
He's not.
Pierre Trudeau?
Yeah, he's dead.
Is he?
Yeah.
I don't
know.
What about the wife?
Margaret Trudeau. She's
I don't know.
She's hanging out with Hamilton George. She's locked in a restroom at Studio 54.
She's locked in a Tim Hortons restroom in Moose Jaw.
That's right. So, Russ, tell us about Splice Today, your wonderful new website.
Yeah.
Splice Today is a sort of eccentric website that has no political agenda.
Mm-hmm. A website with no political agenda?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
It's about the quality of the writing. And
how can you judge the quality of the writing apart from its political content?
Well,
show me the great Stalinist movie critics.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, but he had great prose. What he was saying was bullshit, but what do you mean?
Well, you could ask my managing editor, who John Lingan, who writes our movie reviews.
Okay. Is he here? I'm asking you. You're the boss, right? Come on.
He's a great writer.
Yeah? Okay. Is he a communist?
Loosely speaking, sure.
Yeah,
okay. He voted for Obama.
This is one of the great things is that the guy who helped really, what would you say, the city papers and the New York Press are kind of like the second or third wave of alternative journalism in 20th century America. Right, because I mean, like the Voice started in 55.
Sure, there are the underground papers.
But that it's, I mean, like you know, alternative papers are always hotbeds of commie simp radicals, and like the guy at the center of that is a right wing Republican.
Well, not a Republican.
So you're an independent thinker.
Right.
Yeah, no, I know, but.
In New York, in Baltimore, when I started. City paper, we were thrown out of stores because we had a red logo, so places thought we were a communist paper. Mm-hmm. In New York, we were thrown out of stores because in my column I criticized Jesse Jackson.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty different. Mm-hmm.
And you also had Taki writing for you in the New York Press.
Yeah.
Taki's a great guy.
Yeah. Taki, but he's kind of a nut, though, isn't he?
Totally.
Yeah. Okay.
Do you know who Taki is?
Taki,
the international man of mystery,
the man of
coke snorting,
Jew heading.
Yeah.
Well, he did his time for coke. I don't think he does that anymore. I mean, geez, he's about 70. He doesn't fuck around. I mean, he doesn't smoke anymore since his heart attack. But
Well, here's the latest issue of Vanity Fair. They have a back page where they ask quick hit questions of
movies. Do you still read those
questionnaires?
We get it at home. No, I do. Yeah, it's great. It's like 95 pages of ads.
Brayden Carter is my...
Not for long.
He's my
losing ad?
Well, wait till the second quarter. I mean, all the ad buys.
Well, that's good for us.
What about
no, the last page, there was an interview with, a quick hit interview with Roger Moore.
Moore, former James Bond.
He's got a new book out. Yeah, and they ask him who his favorite writers are. He names three, and one of them is Taki.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, Taki's column is still great in The Spectator.
Yeah, The Spectator was very funny. Yeah, I thought.
Well, let's leave it at Taki, and we'll come back.
The government bailed out Wall Street executives, homeowners, and struggling auto companies. But what about the rest of America?
I thought it would be a great way to save for our daughter's college fund.
You only get married once, so I threw myself a Sex and the City bachelorette party and bought Manolos for all of my bridesmaids, all 12 of them.
This African businessman sent me an email over the internet to my work account saying that he had an exciting business opportunity for the both of us. He said his name was Okunwe. From Nigeria?
In trade, man. It is a money sucker. I thought Susan Lucci was a lock for another daytime Emmy. It'd been years.
All I had to do was wire him $50,000 into an American account, and then I'd get 60% of the inheritance. I didn't even think twice about giving him my soche.
And then I had to fulfill one of my dreams as a bride and have Cavehead at my bachelorette party, which was amazing. I still get chills from it, but that was another $30,000, which is actually a pretty good deal because he usually costs more.
To make up for it, I quit my job and entered the World Series of Poker, but an injury prevented me from competing. A hangover is an injury. Turns out it was a scam.
Where's my bailout?
Where's my bailout? So, where's my bailout?
Contact your congressional representatives and ask them, where's my bailout? Because all Americans should be protected from their own stupidity.
And we're back at Reason TV's talk show. I'm Nick Gillespie. Over there is Michael C. Moynihan of Reason. Kelly Jane Torrance of the Washington Times. And Russ Smith of Splice Today.
Is that your formal voice?
I think it might be. It's my inside voice.
It's your inside voice.
Russ, how old are your kids?
16 and 14.
Yeah. Have they been in The Sound of Music as a musical? Boys or girls? No, if they're 16, right? Do you hate The Sound of Music as a musical?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a musical fan?
I'm not a huge musicals fan. There's a couple that I like.
Like what?
Some of Sondheim stuff, Sweeney Todd.
Oh, God.
But
so pretentious.
What? Sondheim? Pretentious? Really?
It's totally pretentious. Right. You know, Sunday in the Park with George and all that. Yeah.
My older son's playing the 9:30 Club.
Oh, really?
He's
What's
16.
He doing? Yeah.
He's got a band called Engine. He's playing in February.
Wow, that's exciting. The legendary 9:30 Club.
Yeah, well, it's a different 9:30 Club.
Yeah,
isn't
I know
it?
That.
It's
still pretty cool in that world.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's totally. Are you kidding? Yeah.
You got people peeing on people in the 9:30 Club. The New Jersey politician who...
Oh, that's right, who peed off the ledge. Yeah.
Was it not Jim McGreevy?
No. He was pissing on an Israeli guy in his apartment.
How did the Washington Times cover Jim McGreevy's gay American speech?
Yeah. You have to replace
the bracket and put in homosexual.
And if they screw that up, sometimes like I am a illegal immigrant American or what is it, undocumented American.
Yeah.
I just want to say that you know what? All I know about New Jersey, which is where I grew up, it's the best state in the country, and Canadians are there. It's like a shit magnet for Canadians.
New Jersey?
They're always going to the beach.
I grew up in Massachusetts. Martha's Vineyard is a magnet for the Québécois. Je me souviens.
Yeah.
But no other Canadians. Nobody from Ontario.
We got a lot of Ontarians.
Speedo wearing, Bouchard loving Canadians.
I think Toronto's a cool city.
Toronto's a great city.
Montreal.
Where are you from in Canada, Kelly? You're from Winnipeg?
I am from the other side.
That's what's so great about it.
Yeah. I'm from Edmonton originally. Okay, Vancouver.
So that's like Ian and Sylvia territory.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Who are you? A big Gordon Lightfoot fan? Or Brian Adams? Isn't he a Canadian?
Okay, you know. Yeah.
Tragically hip. Yeah, Gord Downie.
The Bare Naked Ladies were from Canada, weren't they?
Yeah, I'm not.
No? No. Okay. What you don't like music? You're like sniffing. Do you fancy yourself like a classy arts and entertainment person? So you like Sondheim and film?
Yeah. You know, I love, one of my favorite things is classical music. But you know, I listen to rock and pop. I probably should admit this on national TV.
Well, they get this in North Korea.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, this is very, very
guilty pleasure. You know, pardon me. Really should be stricken from.
It's redundant, lexicon, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's.
You're a liberated man, aren't you, Russ Smith?
Yeah, I'm completely.
We've liberated. Evolved past guilt. It's a meaningless emotion.
I'm more liberated.
What formed you politically? Because I mean, you claim not to be a Republican, but you were walking in here with like an Operation Valkyrie bat.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, that has like McCain, Palin, and you know.
Well, my fourth
Reagan.
Put that
a fourth. Yeah. Yeah. But so you, why? How
can
did
we
your
show Russ's bag
yeah,
here?
Come on, yeah. Look at this.
Look at that.
Wow.
Look at that.
This is like some kind of.
There's a
and
bomb
it's ticking.
In there.
Yeah. Yes. Like, you know what? I'm really afraid that there's only shredded newspaper in here. He's been carrying around.
Rocks of shredded newspaper.
But yeah. So why Digimon? Wow. That's
okay. Yeah.
This is all my kids' handiwork, mostly when they're younger.
But no. So where do your politics come from? You would, everybody says they're a libertarian, right? This is, on this show anyway. I have libertarian tendencies, which are slowly being purged through an elaborate amount of psychoanalysis.
Is going to be a bad word.
Yeah, no, I think it's a good word. But, I mean, where do your politics come from?
When I had to pay so many fucking taxes when I sold my newspapers.
Oh, yeah. But your newspaper, you were already, and you hired a bunch at Washington City Paper. Wasn't Jack Schaefer of Slate one of your hires?
Yeah, I hired him.
Yeah, and he's a libertarian. You're a libertarian. You got something going on here.
I went into business when I was 21.
Right.
That made me more conservative than my contemporaries, I think.
But why? Okay, so. You're dodging the question. You're weaving and dodging.
How am I weaving?
Were your parents Republicans? What did your parents vote? Did they care about politics?
Oh, yeah. They hated FDR.
That's
just a coincidence.
And then you are a Republican. What a strange connection.
Well, no. My mother actually voted for McGovern in 72. Mm-hmm. Of course, that was after my dad
died.
Come
home, America.
Yeah.
Did she kill him?
That's rude.
No, do you know Wilhelm Reich, you know, the great post-Freudian or, you know, Freud protege psychotherapist, his father like killed his mother in front of him, and then all of his work is about that, but he never would acknowledge it, and it's just very strange. Hmm. But.
No, my parents are Republicans. My father used to say vote Roe A all the way.
Yeah.
I was.
So did they get to vote against FDR? I mean, like, they were among, what was it, Maine and Vermont were the only states that
No, voted. Massachusetts was the only state that McGovern won in 72.
No, I'm talking about FDR, though.
Oh, like FDR,
third or fourth term.
Yeah.
It was a great thing where the only states that he didn't carry were Maine and Vermont, and he used to make fun of Maine and Vermont voters.
No, they lived in New York.
Okay. New York City?
Yeah. Well, the Bronx.
Yeah, all right. Staten Island.
That's where Irish people lived.
Yeah. Did you anglicize your name, Russ Smith? Did they? They were ashamed of being Irish, weren't they? I'm ashamed of being Irish.
Me too. Yeah.
I'm ashamed of Kelly being Canadian.
No. anyway.
What were we talking about?
No idea. No.
We were talking about the recession in the 70s.
Yeah.
I feel like there should be a couch here that we
we're trying to get Russ to open up.
That's what the shag carpet is for. Yeah, we're going to be, you know, this is the pre-interview. We'll be on the rug in a minute.
And Kelly, you are political in some sense, but you don't write about politics.
Yeah.
You do write for a conservative-leading newspaper, and if I correct me if I'm wrong, you worked for Fraser at one time.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is the Fraser Institute in Canada.
Fraser.
Yeah. Which is a right-leaning think tank. So you're obviously political, but do you consider yourself conservative, centrist, libertarian, liberal?
Well, Nick said everyone says libertarian on here, so but yeah. I mean, I am.
Yeah. Well, you come to a lot of recent events, so we know.
You are what? Are you libertarian? Are you conservative?
No, I'm a libertarian.
What does that mean from a Canadian?
Yeah.
Well, there's like five.
You believe
in
littering?
Yeah, exactly.
Littering is not a crime.
No, it's. I mean, when I was younger, I was really interested in politics. I mean, I still am interested in it, but you know, I worked for some think tanks in Canada and here in the States, and I actually was involved in some campaigns in Canada, but I got very quickly disillusioned and was lucky to move over to the art stuff.
And what can you explain to those of us who don't understand this, what happened yesterday in Canada with Mr. Stephen Harper, your Conservative Prime Minister?
Is it
the end of the road for the Conservatives in Canada?
This is great, actually. I've been hearing from all my Canadian friends and family. This is one of the perils of the parliamentary system.
It's a coalition government?
That's right. Well, we had an election. I obviously don't live in Canada anymore. Canada had an election, you know, a couple months ago, and Stephen Harper was elected prime minister, but with a minority government, which meant that his party, the Conservatives, had more seats than everybody else, but not a majority government. So what happened is the other parties got together, the Liberals, the New Democrats, and even the Bloc Québécois, which are a separatist party, and said, okay, let's get a coalition together, and we have more seats than them, we'll rule. It's funny because, you know, everyone I know in Canada, people are really upset about this. You know, the Canadian voters say, well, we voted the Conservatives in. That's who we voted for. They should vote. But, you live in a parliamentary democracy. That's the country. That's the system of government
you live in. Now, this is the conversation that I always have with people, and they say, you know, isn't it awful? America lives in a two-party
post system.
Yeah, the first past the post system, and having lived in Sweden for 5 years, when you have 6% of the population voting for the Communist Party that is actually propping up the government.
You lived in Sweden for
5 years?
Yeah,
for 5 years. My wife is Swedish. And so, yeah, you have 6%.
Ooh, that's a skeleton.
Like the Ace of Base party was keeping the coalition
there's
together.
There's always that conversation where it comes down to it's like, no, a meatball needs to be small.
Yeah.
It's like they just won't let that go.
No, they don't. It's regulated, though.
Yeah,
so.
And Lingonberries. That's the bad side, the dark side of IKEA.
Yes.
Right? It's the Lingonberry juice you can get at the cafeteria.
Yeah, it's quite good.
We're going to have to go, but they'll keep talking. For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie, Michael C. Moynihan of Reason, Kelly Jane Torrance of The Washington Times, and Russ Smith of Splice Today. Thanks.